Okay, so I want to try a different type of anagarita today. One that's going to take a little bit more of, shall we say, decoding. Maybe we'll look at two Gemaras. You know, we've seen different types. We've seen Gemaras that were theological. We've seen Gemaras that were, you know, inspirational. So let's try one which is decoding. The Gemara's version of this is very, very cryptic. The Midrash is slightly more suggestive, but either way, the idea seems to be the same. But we got to try to decode it a bit, okay? So turn to Yotes Amud Beis, okay? If you have Gemaras, Yotes Amud Beis. Yes, 19b, okay? So first I want to read the whole Gemara through, it's just a few lines, and then I want to try to decode it a bit, okay? So if you go, it's about 60-70% through the Gemara. The last word on the line is Machriz. It's like if you see where the Tosfos Mikush Achron is, so it's like halfway through that, parallel to that Tosfos. Like in the middle of that Tosfos. Yud Tes Amud Beis, 19b. Got it?
No, last
word. Last is Machriz, okay? Okay, so it's a short story. So Machriz Rebbe Alexandri. So Rebbe Alexandri used to declare, Man boi chaye, man boi chaye. What does that mean?
Where do we need life?
No, man is who? Boy, what's boy?
Needs.
Wants. Who wants? Who wants life?
Wants.
Who wants life? So kanu fa asu kule alma ligabe. So predictably, what happened?
Everyone gets it.
Everybody gathered towards him, right? Everyone wants life. So everyone came to him and said, me, right? I want life, right? So Amri Lay said to them, Amri Lay, Hav Lan Chai, and they said, okay, give us life, right? You're offering it, so give it. Amr lehu, mi ha'ish ha'chafetz chayim, v'gomer, nitzar l'shon cha meira. So he says, I have a pasuk for you. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Who is the man who desires life? Dot, dot, dot. The one who keeps his tongue from evil. Okay? And then it continues, sur meira v'asei tov, shema yomer natsarti l'shon meira, usvatay medamir mirma, eilech v'etgareb bishina. So maybe you'll say, look, if the danger to life is saying evil things, so then why don't I just go sleep? Or I'll sleep the day through, and I won't say anything wrong. Talmud Lomar, Sur Meira, V'asei Tov, Ein Tov Ela Torah. Because it says, not only leave evil, but do good, and good is Torah, Shneamar. Because the pasuk in Mishle, the Torah is a good portion, right? Don't abandon it. Okay? So take that Gemara for a moment. Why? What exactly is the scene that's being set up, and why is it important? Right, what is the scene? Rabbi Alexandri offers people life. It's a very strange thing to do, right? He's declaring, Havlan, right? Who wants life? Who wants life? Why? What is he doing, and what does the scene imply?
It sounds like he's trying to gather their attention.
He's gathering attention. How?
He's provocative.
What?
He's provocative about like.
So it's provocative for sure. How is he acting? The words he uses. What? In what way is he enticing people? What way is he trying to get people to come towards him? Who is he acting like?
Like God.
No, he's not acting like God. Think more mundane. Think more mundane. What is he doing? Before he gets to the pasuk, before you know there's a pasuk here, what does it sound like he's doing?
Sounds like a preacher, I don't know.
Salesman.
Not a preacher, what? What did you say, Joe? A salesman.
Salesman.
A salesman. That's exactly what he sounds like. Right? You think about the scene. It's man boi chai, who wants life? Who wants life? Right? It's like, right, who wants fries? Right? Doesn't matter, right? And they say, give it to us. Right? Why is that important? What is going on? Why is that important that that's the scene?
I shows that they think they're lacking.
Good, for sure. But think bigger, and this is why you need to understand a God on its own terms. Why is it important that Alexandre is trying to sell life? Why is that important?
Torah is selling life.
Oh, that's so nice. Tell me why he's doing it in Pshat, right? Pshat or Drash of the Drash, but why is he doing it?
Oh, because they had a Hagamina that was easy.
Called me a remote teacher.
They had a Hagamina and they could just buy the life.
I have my hand up.
Okay, what, Charlie? I see your hand. What?
Maybe it's kind of like for that God, it's trying to illustrate to us that like if a salesman would come and be like, "You can have life. I'm just selling it to you." Nobody would refuse. Everybody would be like, "Yes, yes, 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 yes." So when you put it in that perspective, it's like, "Oh, well, I better listen to what this pusik is saying." Because if a salesman came and offered me life, I would obviously want it. And that's effectively what this pusik is doing.
Good, and that's definitely what it's doing. But there's even more to it, and this is requires you to understand Chumash. What is he doing?
Give him opportunity.
What? He's playing on a pusik. What pusik is he playing on? No, that's the plusik he's not playing on. That's the plusik he's explicitly drawing on. What's the plusik that he's punning on? He's punning on something. Nope. The plusik in, I'll give you a hint, it's a plusik in Parsha Kedoshim. Yeah, it doesn't help you. Okay, fine. Because, okay, let's put it this way. What crime, what sin does he want people to avoid? What sin does he want people to avoid?
Lashon hara.
Lashon hara. Good. Good. What is somebody who says Lashon hara called in Chumash?
A gossip monger, but the Hebrew word.
Yeah, what's the Hebrew?
Rochel.
A Rochel. Otelech Rachel Bamecha. Good. What is a Rochel?
A person who says Rachel.
A master of gossip.
No, he's a peddler. He's a salesman. He's a salesman that goes from place to place. Right? And Rashi says there, why is he a Rochel? Why is someone who says Lashon Hara called a Rochel? Because he goes from city to city selling his wares. And he says, who wants this information? Right, he acts like a peddler of information. Right, Rabbi Alexandre is punning on the original pasuk. Now, this is implied by the Gemara in the Bavli, but it is almost explicit by the version that appears in Vayikra Rabbah. Because you look in Vayikra Rabbah. Now, this is good. I'm on Hangout, so I could send this to you, right?
Send it to Shimon.
No, what am I doing? I can just send a message. I can send it straight. Here.
Oh, like that.
There you go. Okay? This is the version as it appears in Vayikra Rabbah. Right? In Vayikra Rabbah it says, Zos yetarada mitzara. Right? Mi ha'isha chafetz chayim. Right? Who is the one who wants life? So this time it's ma'aseh birochel echad. Shaya machzir ba'ayarot shaya smuchot letzipori. So he went around next to Tzipori and he announced who wants to buy life. Now it's clear that in this version, by calling him a Rochel, it is clearly punning on the Pasuk. Right? He's a peddler of life, but normally, right? Normally, what does the Rochel of Lashon Hara offer?
Information
and death, right? Because Lashon Hara is equated with death, right? It kills three people. That's the Bavli in Erechin, right? But here, he's offering life. So if you look at the version that continues in the Midrash, so Rabbi Yana Yosef Upashut Biturka Nile Shamay Damachar Isman by Sam Chayim. Rabbi Yana was sitting and he heard this announcement and he says, Amar le tasak lahacha zavunli. So he says, come here, I want some. Sell it to me. Amar le lav ant tsarech le. Velo dekavatech atrech ale. You don't need it. And it's not for people like you that I put in this effort. So ligabe, so he went to him and hotzi lo sefer tehillim. He took out a tehillim and hera lo pasuk mi aisha chavitz chayim. Who is the one who wants life? Maksiv basre. What does it say afterwards? Nitzor l'shon chamera sur meira v'asei tov. And Amar of Yanai, Shlomo Machrez v'Amar Shomer Biblishon Shomer Mitzaris Nafsho. And Amar of Yanai, Kol Yamai Yisi Kore Apasuk Azeh. V'lo Yisi Yodin Heichan Hu Pashur Atsheba Rochel Zeva Odiyo Miyaisha Chavetz Chayim. And I didn't, my whole life I knew this Pasuk, but I didn't know what it meant until this Rochel, right, this peddler came and told me what it meant. Okay, so now let's think about the version in the Midrash for a second. Why did Rabbi Yonai not know what it meant his entire life? Right? Why does that make any sense? Right? If you are a Talmud Chacham and you know all of Tanakh cold, as all of you do, right? Why don't you know what the Pasuk means in Tehillim? It's a Beferish Pasuk. Why is it so difficult? It doesn't sound very difficult. Why is it difficult?
You hadn't internalized it?
So it could be he didn't internalize it. Okay. But it sounds like more than that. What's the key in both the Gemara's version and even more explicitly in the Midrash's version? What is the irony? Right? What does it say? Let's take the Bavli's version for a moment. The Bavli says, what might you think that Pshat is in Mi Aisha Chavetz Chayim? Sur Meira. What would you think? Nitzor Lashon Chameira. What would you think?
You can do nothing all day and you're good.
Exactly. Right? That the best way to avoid saying anything bad is to...
not do anything.
Is not do not anything. Good. If you want to prove to people that that's not the solution to protecting yourself from Lashon Hara, what do you need to do?
Show us. Hell then. Teach Torah. Or teach the idea you can't teach.
Remove
things
yourself
so bad.
From them.
What?
Remove yourself from the people that speak.
I can't hear you. Too far back there.
Then remove yourself from the people who tell you you are not to be. Say it again.
Well, so I don't. Let's say you don't want to teach it. Let's say you want to illustrate to people what the best way of solving Lashon Hara is. What do you do?
Showing them. You're showing them.
Teach them Torah.
Good. Show them. How do you show them? What does it mean to show them?
By teach the opposite. By not doing nothing, but by teaching them the positive thing.
Or let's be even more specific. Not just not doing anything, but doing what? What do you do actively that will disprove the notion that the best way to solve Lashon Hara is to sleep?
By not sleeping.
Oh, by peddling Torah in the sense that...
Good. By being someone who talks a lot, right? Meaning... acting exactly like a Rochel, but for Tov, right? For good, right? Because if you think that the best way to solve saying Lashon Hara is to be quiet, so the only way to convince you that that's not true is to show you someone who has the same character traits as a Rochel, meaning he's willing to go around from place to place peddling information. Meaning he's basically a gossip monger. Except the content of what he's spreading is positive, or Torah in this case. Right now, in the Midrash, you get another hint to this, because in the Midrash, where is this guy? Where is this Rochel teaching his lesson? In what city? Ellie, just look at the computer. Where is it? What city?
That's it. Oria.
Tzipori. Good. Tzipori. What is the shoresh of the word Tzipori? What is Tzipori? What is the word that it's based
bird.
On? Good. Bird. Why is that important?
Wait, this tweet.
Khan
Sipor.
No, not Khan Sipor.
They talk a lot.
Okay, good. The Midrash. Okay, but before we get there. What carbon does somebody who has tzara'at bring to end his tzara'at?
A bird carbon.
Birds, very good. Birds. And why does he bring birds?
Because they tweet too much.
Because if you take
exactly, the Midrash says because they tweet too much. Right? Because there he was mitzav tzev katzipor, because he didn't shut up like a tweety bird. Right? And therefore, as kapara, he brings birds. But that means that in the midrash, what is it, what do you have? Right? It's a code. Is you have a rochel, right? You have somebody who talks a lot in Sipori, meaning he is a he has the same tchunot nefesh. He has the same characteristics as a gossiper. And he's willing to go to Tzipori. He's going to be mitzav tzev ketzipor. He's going to talk a lot. Right? But instead of that being to his detriment, it's going to be the secret to life. Why is it going to be the secret to life? Why? Yeah, good. But what... Remember, this whole Agadata is based on one Pasuk. How is it a Parshanut on the Pasuk?
Because the one who desires life only does good. Good means Torah, which means he only does
good. Meaning what? What does he not do? What is the Chiddush that this Rochel is introducing to Rabbi Alexandre, to Rabbi Yanai in the...
Doesn't do Torah.
Meaning what? He doesn't just focus on which half of the pasuk.
On the just the Glashanara half.
Yes, on Sur Meirah. Right? He the key he says it's you can't just avoid saying Glashanara by being Sur Meirah, by not talking. Right? The key to negative speech is not silence. The key is Vase Tov Ein Tov Ela Torah. Right? So if you want to understand the version in the Bavli, and even more so the version in the Midrash, what you have to realize is that it's an elaborate metaphor. Right? It's telling you that the key to this Pasuk is not to say Lashon Hara is so bad and it's death, and therefore we should avoid it, because silence is not the proper solution to Lashon Hara. The solution is to be a Rochel, right? To be willing to talk, even talk a lot, to even act like the peddler, so to speak, the metaphorical peddler, but to replace the content of that speech with, right, replace the Lashon Hara with Torah. If you do that, you become a Rochel Litov, which is the kiyum of Va'aseh Tov, which is the opposite of Sur Meirah. And when you do that, right, then you solve it. But you have to realize, in order to understand the Midrash fully, you have to realize that what it's doing is that it's hinting at a series of allegorical reads or metaphors from the Pasuk, right, to reframe an ethical lesson of how to deal with the problem. Yes, Yaakov.
Rabbi Stern.
Yeah.
Oh, why is this an Agadata?
What do you mean, why is it an Agadata?
Well, because like other Agadatas are like, God spoke at 3 p.m. Why is this a...
Oh,
it's not halakha. That's all Agadata means, that it's not halakha.
Correct. And that was what we did in the introduction. Remember, Agadata means a lot of things. It means metaphorical things. It means ethical things. It means coded things. Right? That's why I'm specifically doing a different type of Agadata, Yaakov. Right? That's the point. Is that we've done a series of very deep theological Agadatot. We've done some one-liners. And now, right, we want to look at some of these coded stories. Correct. Meaning it's not halachic, it's not law. It's like it's normative in a sense that it tells you how to live life, but it's not halacha per se. But it's also not, and that's the key to Agadata, it's not written straightforwardly. Right? It's written with a series of hints and a series of similes and metaphors and allegories, right, that are meant to invoke images that fill out the picture. Now, this general analysis I heard from Rasha Weiss years ago. But I think it's a good example of the way certain Agadatot function. Okay, that's one example, okay? That's a relatively easy one to figure out. Let's try one that's a bit harder, okay? Let's try... I showed this, I think, to the guys in my shir at some point. But this Gemara is as weird as it gets. Turn to Samach Hei Amud Beis. Sorry, Amud Aleph. 65A.
Well,
65A. Samachai. Okay. This one.
Yeah.
This one is much weirder than the one we just saw. Okay? Go to the Gemara that says, Rava Amtile Korbana Livar Sheshach. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines down. Got it?
No.
I know I showed this to some guys, but let's try to understand it.
Count 8 lines.
Right, I don't remember who I showed this to, but this is one of those bizarre agadatas that you got to have a little bit of, you got to try to understand. Good. Ravi amtile korban olivar sheshach b'yom edam. Got it?
Yeah.
Good. Rava brought a offering, a gift, to Varsheshach on their holiday. So Amar Bey... And he said, it's not a problem to give him a present on his holiday, because I know he's not an idolater. Also, Ashkeche, he wasn't an idolater, but he's not exactly a good person. So he went and he found him. What's he doing? He's sitting up to his neck in rose water, which is basically perfume. The Kaimen Zonot Arumot Kame. Now what happening? What's happening?
Yes.
What's happening?
No, there are a bunch of prostitutes.
There's a good. He's surrounded by a bunch of naked prostitutes. Okay? Amrlay, so while he's there, right? You have to imagine the scene, right? This is the Gadol HaDor walking into this scene. Great. So Amrlay. So Varsheshach says to Rava, do you have anybody as beautiful as this in your world to come? So Amar Lei, didan adifa tve mehai. He said, we do, in fact, we have more beautiful ones in the world to come. So Amar Lei, tve mehai mihave. So he says to him, really? Are there more beautiful women than these? So Amar Lei, Atun Ika Alaihu Emsa de Malchusa, said, you have the fear of government on you. Anon, but we in the world to come, Lo Tahavin Alan Emasa de Malchusa, we'll be able to enjoy it without the fear of the king. So Amar Lei, Anon Mia Ma Emsa de Malchusa Ika Alai. Barsheshach said to him, what, who am I afraid of? But I'm very powerful. And in the meantime, a royal officer came to him, to Barsheshach, and Amar Lei, kum de kaboylach malka. He said, I want the king wants you, get up. So kinafik vazil, as he was leaving, Amar Lei, eina de boyle mechazi lechu bishusa tipaka. So he said, anybody who wants to, who tries to look at you with evil intent, his eye should be poked out. Amar Lei Rava, amen. And Rava said, okay, good, amen. Paka einei de Varsheshach. And Varsheshach's eye burst out of the socket. Good. Okay, good. Try that one. What does that Gemara mean?
Is that it? Is that the end?
Oh yeah, that's the end. That's it. What does it mean?
Very easy to understand right here.
Oh yeah? Really?
Yeah. So basically here's how it goes. If you accept Omalchus and you accept the axioms of Judaism, then you're gonna have eyes and you're gonna be able to enjoy things.
Great.
If you don't, you're gonna get punished. That's the eyes getting sucked out. It's the punishment.
Good. Who is Barsheshach?
You.
Who's Barsheshach?
A higher up official who is lower than the king had a lot of money.
Have you read Eo? Have you read the second marriage? Have you read the second
marriage? Yes, I read it daily.
Okay, who here is a gematria person? Who here knows gematrias?
Wait, what?
Oh, please, no.
Yes.
Oh, Eo, you're confusing two things. Eo's about someone getting punished.
Who knows Atbash?
No, I know Atbash.
Good. Who is Sheshach? What Sheshach and Atbash?
Bays, this last letter.
I think I just learned it.
I don't want to. Bays, I don't know, Yud.
Bez Lamed.
Bez what Lamed?
Bez Lamed.
But there's a Yud. There's a Yud.
Who's it's Shin Shin Chaf, right? In other places it's written Chaser. Who's Shin Shin? What's bet Lamed?
Bavel.
Thank you, Bavel. Right? Why would you think this I got from Right Clapper? Why would you think that Sheshach? Why would you look for Atbash? I know you don't like gematrias, but why would I look for Atbash?
Because
his name isn't Sheshach. What's his name?
Bar
Sheshach. Bar Sheshach. What does Bar mean?
Son of.
The son of, or what's underneath, right? It's the opposite. It's the diminutive part of it, right? It's the opposite. So Bar Sheshach is what's underneath Sheshach, which is Bavel, right? What might this Gemara mean if that code is correct? What is the Gemara really about?
Bavel thinks they're all high and mighty, but they're not.
Yeah, in what sense?
I think this world is the greatest pleasure.
Yeah, they don't actually know anything. They can't see.
Good, but they think that the only thing that's important is physical pleasure, right? And they challenge Rava, who represents the Jews, and he says, right, don't you realize that we have life better than you? What does he say to them?
We're going to have a lot better afterwards.
Right, but why? What's it, the exact way that he phrases it?
We have better.
Say.
Why is it going to be better?
Better beings.
They're beautifuler.
Why?
More beautiful.
He doesn't say that. But he says it's going to be better. Why is it going to be better?
You don't know defense, Fay.
Because?
They look better?
Because we won't have the fear of government. That's what he says. I mean, we'll be able to enjoy it. Right?
We have kings, no?
You'd be like, we can hire...
We won't have Amos of the Malchus. We won't have the fear of the government. I mean, we'll be able to enjoy it. Yeah, Charlie?
Could you explain the... Hey, guys. I am talking. Could you explain the opening line? what the Yom... means and represents, and why he's talking about it not being an Avodah Zarah worship.
Oh, so that's just because the Gemara is in the middle of a longer discussion. But if you've done the first perek, do you know, right, that around the holidays, right, we can't do any business with the non-Jews? But here he is bringing a gift to Bar Sheshach on his holiday. Now, the only way that would be legitimate is if he wasn't actually an idolater, right? That's a halachic part of this Gemara.
Got it.
Right?
And then,
sorry, that's from the first paragraph.
He's like, you guys get this in the next world? He's like, we get better, you know, we'll pop. And then he's like, I don't have all mafus. And then he gets called to the king, which just proves that, basically.
Yeah.
Right.
And then he gets his eyes poked out. Because he cursed himself by saying, anybody who wishes ill on me gets their eyes poked out. He wished ill on himself by being with this woman. So
No. He says anybody who tries to harm the Jews should have his eye poked out. Right? Because he said, look, Rava managed to, right, like, curse me and it worked.
Wait, what?
Right, Bar Sheshach says anybody who tries to challenge the Jews will be cursed, as evidenced by the fact that Rava said to him, what's it called? That you have the fear of government, which led to the king calling him out in the middle of this, whatever exactly the scene is supposed to be.
The part A.
Sort of like that. But tell me, very simply, right, even if you don't buy the Bar Sheshach being Bavel, even though that does seem to be what's part of what's going on, right, it's clear that Bar Sheshach represents a foreign culture and Rava represents the Jews. And what is the Gemara saying? What is the Gemara telling you? What fundamentally, right, think about, okay, this guy you should pick up on, right? Why is it important? Emasa de Malchus. What does that indicate? What is he talking about?
You're not totally free to enjoy this.
Yeah, good. And when are the Jews going to be free to enjoy things?
after they're free of the mountains.
Oh, you want my book?
Yeah. Who says that? Shmuel. Ain, remember there's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. In the time of Mashiach, is the world going to change? Is nature going to change or not? Rav says yes, Shmuel says no. And Shmuel says, what will be the one difference between Imos HaMashiach and now?
Malchus.
Ein bein olam azel Imos HaMashiach el shibud malchiot bilvad. The only difference is that we will no longer be under the auspices of the foreign governments. Right? So the Gemara is clearly alluding to Imos HaMashiach / Olam Haba, and it's saying that what? What's the point? The point is that what? The non-Jews value physical pleasure, hedonism. Right? Hedonism. And they think that they have the upper hand. And what do we respond?
You're wrong.
Because your freedom to enjoy this, your freedom to indulge in hedonism without punishment is illusory, right? It's an illusion. It's temporary, because in the end, we're going to be the ones without Shibud Malchut, right? We're going to be the ones that are free, and we're going to be able to value things that are better than what you could possibly imagine, right? Now, we don't necessarily mean what they want to enjoy, not the hedonism that they enjoyed, but starting in Mos HaMashiach and going to Olam Haba, we're going to be able to enjoy spiritual pleasures, right? And the moment at which that'll happen is the moment at which Shibud Malchiot is lifted, right? Because once Mashiach comes and Shibud Malchiot is lifted, what becomes clear, right? What is clear about the Yemos HaMashiach and on, right? What changes about the world?
They will all recognize Jews' sovereignty.
Well, sovereignty, sure, but they'll also recognize God.
God.
So what is this Gemara written slightly in code? It's a Gemara about what? It's a Gemara describing the difference between
physical and spiritual pleasures.
Or, in a nutshell, the difference between the end goals of Jewish life and the end goals of or whatever, Bavel or any other foreign culture where their end goal is hedonism and our end goal is God. And the way you hinted that is by saying that the moment at which things will change, or the axis, right, or the fulcrum between them and us, is the point of Shibud Malchiot. And what they're saying is, you think you don't have Shibud Malchiot, but at the end of the day, we're the ones who won't have Shibud Malchiot. Hinting at the fact that when the truth will be revealed is Imos HaMashiach and Olam Haba. Right? And the way you do that is they code it by putting Rava Bar Sheshach, or representatives of opposing theological cultures, in dialogue. Yes, Charlie.
In terms of if that's the point of the Gemara, is to say that, you know, we have spiritual pleasure, and in the next world we're really going to get to go all out of the spiritual pleasure because we're not going to have Shibud Malchiot, and y'all's physical pleasure isn't even that good anyway because you're not Shibud Malchiot. So it seems like sort of strange that like we have to sort of divide it up into two aspects of, you know, there's type of pleasure and then there's quality of pleasure, you know? So if what Rav is trying to say back to Sheshach is, you know, we got it better than you anyway because we have a better type of pleasure, which is spiritual pleasure as opposed to physical pleasure, right? Why does he have to do this whole shtick when, you know, your pleasure is, you know, subject to Shibud Malchiot, whereas ours is subject to Shibud Malchiot? He doesn't really draw the distinction between physical pleasure.
Correct.
And,
so
and spiritual.
So
he said, we're engaging in physical pleasure in Olam Haba, or
we have like 30 seconds. So the 30-second version, it could be that he is also talking about physical pleasure. Right? It could be that he's talking more about Yemos HaMashiach than Olam Haba. Right? And Yemos HaMashiach, ostensibly, there will also be physical pleasure. Right? And the real difference will be, right? Meaning, by indicating Shibud Malchiot, he's hinting at not just Olam Haba, which is purely spiritual, but at Yemos HaMashiach, which is admittedly physical as well. But, right, it's the time where there's no Shibud Malchiot. And the point of there not being Shibud Malchiot is because everyone recognizes God. So it may be a mix, right? It may be saying that our pleasure is only spiritual, or it may be saying that even our physical pleasures, right, will be able to enjoy in a different type of a way in the period of not Shibud Malchios, when the world recognizes God. So it may be a mix of Yimosa Mashiach and Olam Haba. But again, that's part of, I think, the code that it's written in, but it's time for Mincha. So that's just a little bit of a, you know, two